The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
There he is, Steve Kamer, the voice of the Media Noise Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Seth Everett is going to join me in just a moment. We both wrote columns about the way the media is approaching the hiring of Urban Meyer by the Jacksonville Jaguars, so we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Also, Brandon Contis will join me a little bit later. Looks like Craig Carton has his first high-profile feud since returning to WFAN, and it is with ESPN's Jeff Passan. I think there is a whole lot of bluster about nothing on Carton's end, but we will save all that for a little bit later. I want to start by talking still about WFAN, so let's get into that. All right, so we put this column up at the site earlier this week where Bart Scott spoke with Neil Best of Newsday, and he said that when he was offered the chance to team with Craig Carton to return to WFAN a little less than a year since he left to join ESPN New York, he said that he weighed this out about stability. It was, in his words, what is more stable, Mickey Mouse or Intercom, which used to be CBS. And there was a little bit of bluster, a little bit of conversation about this, because anytime ESPN and WFAN are exchanging words in New York, it does capture some headlines. But I will say this, when JB sent me the link to this article and said, hey, make sure we get this up on the site, big news, I read it, and immediately I thought, okay, it is a high-profile talent sort of taking a shot at the competition. I get that's big news. And then I thought about it a little more and thought, I mean, is it? Like, haven't we all in private had this conversation? And not just about Intercom, by the way. If Bart Scott were out on the West Coast and it was ESPN LA or AM 570, wouldn't he be saying the same thing about iHeart? If he were in Dallas, wouldn't he be saying the same thing about The Ticket and Cumulus? I mean, that is just the way we talk about the radio business, right? It is all about instability, which is why I think the second part of what Bart Scott had to say about why he chose to stick with ESPN is A, not surprising, but B, the bigger thing to take away from here, and that is the number of platforms that ESPN offers him the opportunity to be on because, quote, this business is always changing. And I think that is the thing that you take away from this going, hey, Bart Scott's a smart dude. He's a smart talent that recognizes the forest for the trees. This business is always changing, and the opportunity that ESPN presents him to be on terrestrial radio, on television, on podcast, perhaps there's some opportunities on ESPN+. Plus, obviously, you know, we learned last week that Dan Lebatard and John Skipper were partnering up for a new venture. This week, we learned it was called Metalark Media, and we learned that Amin Alhassan was going to be one of their immediate hires. I talked to a couple of people at ESPN that all say the interesting thing about this is John Skipper is launching his own thing, bringing all of the knowledge over from DAZN, because it is not just about the streaming world, it is about the way streaming works in sports media across the world that Skipper has had the opportunity to see. And I think that's what Bart is playing into here. I don't think he's specifically referencing Skipper and Lebatard's a new venture. I think what he is referencing is that if you pay attention, even a little bit, like you recognize the media today is not going to be the media tomorrow. That is why you see iHeart building out its podcast platform. That is why you see Intercom investing in Cadence 13, Westwood One building up its podcast platform. Wherever the future of audio is, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is the future of audio in the media space? And so if you are with a company, and there are local companies that do this very well. I will point to Guarantee Media down in Baton Rouge that is already crazy invested in digital video production. It seems to me that, and we've been talking about this for years as jobs in the radio space have gone away, if you are a talent, you have to invest in being a talent, not in being a radio talent, not in being an audio talent, not in being a television talent, Bart Scott seems like he has a long-term vision of his future, and that vision may not even be anything specific. Maybe the only thing specific that Bart Scott thinks about when he looked at, do I want to go back to WFAN or do I want to stay with ESPN, probably the only thing he thinks about that he knows he will have to do is be adaptable. And nobody in the sports media business right now gives you more opportunities to adapt to more things than ESPN, and so I sort of understand why it was a no-brainer for him. Seth Everett and I wrote two different angles building off a very, well, not a very similar, the exact same story this week at the website. It is about Urban Meyer leaving the media for the NFL. For me, I sort of seized on the fact that, you know, we tell the same story every single time with this guy. He's got health problems. His family makes him sign a contract that he won't kill himself, et cetera, et cetera. And I was hoping that we would get things framed a little bit differently with a full story. Seth, your piece was about the fact that that full story includes a very dark chapter that the media seems intent on giving Urban Meyer a pass on.
Well, it just was ignored, and it was exemplified by the fact that when Jared Porter, it was revealed by ESPN, Jared Porter sent these lewd texts to a reporter, and he was promptly fired, and Twitter went bananas in 30 minutes. And it was instantly, Jared Porter cannot step out in public for fear of his safety. And all I'm asking is, if we're going to cover sports like we're covering sports and not like we're politics, then let me just say that Urban Meyer's departure from Ohio State was broiled in controversy, and it should be noted as such. I'm not saying he can't be the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but let's not ignore the fact that he had an assistant coach that was abusing his spouse. He knew about it and didn't say a thing. And if you want to believe that Urban Meyer was going to leave Ohio State under any other circumstances, then I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
So let me ask you a question. Why is the media not going to bring that up? Is it a matter of old news? Is it a matter of Urban Meyer is pretty well liked? What's your theory on that?
My theory is it's sports, and it's the different sports. And I think that baseball writers are different than football writers, and football writers, and I hate the stereotypes, but I'll use another example. Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. Eric Bieniemy is being mentioned as the number one coaching candidate for every opening. He interviewed for like six jobs. And Andy Reid went on the radio with Brian Mitchell and said, there is no better leader of men than Eric Bieniemy. He choked a woman. He didn't kill her. He choked a woman. He was suspended. He's had DUIs. He's the best leader of men. And again, I'm not saying that Eric Bieniemy can't coach a team, but if we're going to have accountability in the media, then you can't put that in a story. You can't mention that on a radio show, put that in a podcast. That's what I don't understand. And what you're noticing, and I'd love for somebody to prove me wrong, is it's always football. It's always football where you can go have COVID parties and no one seems to matter. But you can, in other sports, we hold baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, tennis to a higher standard. Tiger Woods still is not looked the same way. But Urban Meyer can do whatever he wants? I'm sorry. There's an inequity there.
Do you think that's a matter of the NFL being such a desired commodity by these networks? I mean, look, we saw this at ESPN, right? ESPN basically put down in writing that they are going to go easier on the NFL because they value that partnership in a different way than they do the others.
Well, and I've been critical of ESPN in the past because I don't understand what they held onto this Jared Porter story about. And it reminds me of Bernie Fine, to be quite honest with you. You know, Bernie Fine, there were accusations against the former Syracuse assistant coach, and ESPN deemed it not credible and never reported it until the Jerry Sandusky issue happened with Penn State and the disgusting nature of Joe Paterno's cover-up. And suddenly they were getting ratings bonanza from controversy, and automatically Bernie Fine is back in the headlines. And I just wonder, what was it that tipped ESPN to say, okay, now we can print this? Is it after the Lindor trade? Is that what prompted it? And I am sorry, but I thought that in this circumstance, there's no consistency. And what I always ask for, and I want to be held accountable as well, but if I don't do something correctly, people call me on the carpet. What happens in these sports is people arbitrarily pick and choose when they call people on the carpet.
So regardless of platform, the big story in sports media the last week has been the Jared Porter report from Mina Kimes and Jeff Passan of ESPN. It resulted in the newly hired Mets general manager being let go. Reports that he sent some unwanted lewd photos to a female reporter back during his days with the Chicago Cubs. Brandon Contis is with me now. And Brandon, I'm going to get at your heartstrings a little bit here because you are a Mets fan. And I would imagine that this just feels like, when are we going to not be in a phase of one bad thing after another?
Right. And when the Mets get a new owner, they move on from the Wilpons. And not to say that at all, I don't feel that this is the Mets' fault by any means, but it definitely does just kind of feel like, oh, here we go again. And I thought they hired this young up and coming general manager and then they trade for Francisco Lindor. And it felt like there's a new era was upon us with the New York Mets. And then you just get this story and you can't help but shake your head at it and say, here we go again.
So let's talk about the media angle of this, because the ESPN story comes out, like you said, Monday night. And on Tuesday, this is already the buzz of the sports media industry, particularly in New York, where the Mets are. And it has caused something of a standoff between Jeff Passan and, you know, he frames it as WFAN, but in particular, it does seem to be Carton Roberts.
Right. So I think part of the issue with this is just the fact that the meat of the story, everybody agrees on. Everybody agreed that what Jared Porter did was sexual harassment. Everybody agreed that it was disgusting and that he needed to be fired. So beyond that, I think people still are looking for unique talking points. And I think that's kind of when you get to the area of like Jim Rome the other day misrepresented a Sandy Alderson quote just so that he could bash the New York Mets. And then you get issues like where a lot of people are saying, well, why did ESPN hold this story for 4 years? It happened in 2016. ESPN gets the information in 2017. What took them so long? Why did they wait for Jared Porter to get a prominent role in a high-profile team for them to actually release this information? And I'm sure Jeff Passan got a lot of that on social media, especially since a month ago he gave a glowing report of Jared Porter when the Mets hired him. So he probably had that thrown back in his face. And at some point he must have heard Carton and Roberts similarly question it a little bit. And maybe that was just the tipping point for him to say, you know what, I'm going on the Michael Kay Show. I'm going to get some of this stuff off my chest. And I'm tired of the critiques of this story.
So at the top of the show, I said that I felt like Craig Carton was making a lot out of what is essentially nothing in order to get his feud that he has wanted for so long since he came back to WFAN. But it does sort of strike me, as we are talking about this, it seems like both sides are kind of making a bigger deal out of this than it actually is, because as you reported, Craig Carton was very adamant about he understands why ESPN held the story. He understands that it is not the responsibility of ESPN to get the story out right away and that they have to protect their sources in that way. And on the other side, you know, Craig Carton claiming that now Jeff Passan is public enemy number one. Like, I cannot think of another time that these two are ever going to cross paths again.
Right. And if it wasn't Jeff Passan and it was somebody from ESPN New York, I think maybe you would get more of a back and forth. But at this point, ESPN doesn't really want Jeff Passan to fire back at Craig Carton, and he doesn't really need to fire back. So I can't imagine that it's going to go any further than it already has. The one thing that he did then bring up that I thought was interesting was just the fact that ESPN then felt the need to add Jeff Passan to the story. So Passan was very complimentary when the Mets hired Jared Porter, and that was only 1 month ago. Meanwhile, ESPN knew this backstory on Porter for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I don't think Jeff Passan knew about the story at the time, because if he did know the story with Jared Porter sending 62 consecutive text messages, sending naked photos to this person, I don't think he would have gave a glowing report. But it is odd that Kimes had this story for 4 years, and then in the last month, Passan is brought in, and he is treated somewhat as an equal contributor to the story. So I mean, maybe Kimes would come out and say, no, I could not have had this story come out in the last month without Jeff Passan. Maybe he has played an important role in getting the story to its final stages. But ESPN had the story for 4 years. Kimes had the story for 4 years. Passan had the story for less than a month.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dmitry Rabinos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.